Welcome back. Well, diversified miner Exxaro reported a 42% jump in interim headline earnings per share, and this despite coal and other commodity pricing declining sharply over the period. Majority of its coal operations still reporting profitability, but bulk of the lifting coming in from the miners' equity investments and asset sales. The company's CEO, Mxolisi Mngojo, joins us in studio now for a closer look at the numbers and what it spells for future growth. Thanks so much for joining us in studio this evening, Mxolisi. So you've decided to pay shareholders a special dividend of 897 cents a share, and that after half year net profit doubled. But the doubling has come largely on the back of asset sales. Operating profit, which excludes those gains, fell back to 2.4 billion rand. Revenues edged 2% lower. So are you really in a position to be dishing out the dividends?
Oh, no, we are, Alicia. You remember we had indicated right from the beginning that as part of our strategy of our portfolio optimization, we're going to be divesting of our Tronox shareholding. And we had promised the market that out of those proceeds, we will be passing that majority of that back to the shareholders. And that's exactly what we have done to keep our promise. And also even above that, our SIOC, we've come up with last year a new dividend policy where we've said that we'll pass through the SIOC dividend, and therefore we continue to do that. Our coal business has got strong cash generation. And what you've seen in the first half is in as much as it seemed like it was lower than the second half of last year, we're going to be seeing that we're going to be increasing that deficit and closing that in the second half. And despite the fact that the coal prices are lower, we've got projects that are coming in 6 months online, and that will help us in that upliftment.
Yeah. Having said that, though, in terms of your medium to long-term strategy, do you have enough of a buffer to defend against squeezes down the line? Should capital not be used more so in investing in the diversification of the company from you essentially being an exclusive coal provider?
We've got a very strong balance sheet. You know, debt equity ratios are sitting at about 1.7%. And we've just gone on a bond issuance, which gives us a very, very strong position. Our current debt position is down to around 780 million rand right now. So we're in a very, very strong position to be able to fund some of our growth. And some of that is going to be coming on the project that we are looking at with Anglo American in Australia on the hard coking coal, a metallurgical hard coking coal project. We are busy reviewing that project with the hope that should it be the market conditions prevail and the project is one that we can do, it's something that we'll be looking at investing towards probably in the next coming 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
So we're in a good position with regard to that.
How rife are the investment opportunities right now, locally or globally?
Well, we have been very much only looking at our own asset base right now. We took a strategy of what we call early value. So instead of going out and acquiring assets, coal assets, we are saying that we're going to be looking at our current existing operations, seeing how we can extract some of that value much earlier so that we don't end up with stranded assets given the climate.
So organic and brownfield projects,
exactly,
your priorities.
That's what we are prioritizing. Three of them. We are prioritizing our Goedgevlei mine. We are prioritizing our Mafube joint venture with Anglo, mm-hmm. and our new Belfast mine. So the whole idea is that with those, we're going to be creating these high quality products where we're going to be almost probably putting a lot of tons to as much as enabling us to do as much as about 16 million tons of exports in the next coming few years.
Okay, you alluded to your Sishen iron ore company exposure. That's benefited from higher iron ore prices during the year, and you've previously expressed an interest in, upping your interest in that operation. Have discussions with Anglo American on that front hit a dead end?
Well, we were looking at doing a flip up into Kayo. But I think both parties, I believe that probably this is not the opportune moment. So, no, that's off the table at this current moment.
In the interim, you're having to deal with your export coal prices collapsing. So talk us through the current supply-demand dynamics at play, where coal export volumes, yes, increased 9%, but your selling prices have decreased sharply. And how soon before you see the tide turning? Because you mentioned that you are optimistic on the way forward.
It's a challenging time right now globally. There's an oversupply of coal in the RB1 coal. which are as a result of some of the dynamics within the trade war that is taking place, where China plays a very, very critical part in this game, insofar of the coals that they want to come into their own markets. And once they start curtailing some of those coals coming to their markets, those coals coming from various parts of the world, from Australia, Colombia, have got to find other homes. So the natural places that they go is to the currently oversupplied market already. So we see that playing out for the rest of the year. We're seeing the prices remaining predominantly where they are. But our focus has been more on driving and focusing on those areas where we actually have control of our business, managing costs, driving productivity, increasing efficiencies, because those are the things that we control. We cannot control exchange rate. We cannot control what the coal prices are. But what we want to do is to try and ensure that we've got a very robust business with a suite of products that it can respond to the market.
And you can't control just how much volume is taken up at the end of the day locally, lower than contracted volumes being taken up by Eskom for the Medupi power station. How hard is that hitting?
No, the issue with Medupi in the first half was primarily due to the fact that they had some of their own issues with regard, which were reported issues with regard to a contractor that I had that was doing their ash handling on their plant, and also a contractor that they had with the transport of coal from the transfer point to the stockyard. Now that has reversed. Whereby they were down to 3 units. Now we've seen them go back up to 5 units, and we've seen that trend continuing in the direction where they are taking the coal that they were saying they were going to take.
Where are your confidence levels sitting as far as Eskom is concerned? What are you making of the stride government is making with this SOE? Because very necessary structural and sustainable reforms haven't been too apparent.
Well, that's what we are really encouraging the government to do, because Eskom is not an Exxaro problem. It's a country problem. I mean, that is one thing that if we don't get right can have a severe impact in our sovereign down rating, you know. Mm. So I think we are all very much concerned. As big business, we are all concerned. So we are just appealing to the government to take the necessary hard, bold step in terms of structural reform, not only of the state-owned assets, but also of government and in its totality in terms of reducing the cost of government. So we are really looking forward to the government and the president to actually really take the necessary steps quite urgently around these reforms.
To mitigate against the risk that it presents for you, though, are you looking at placing coal elsewhere?
Well, you know, Eskom continues needing coal. In actual fact, we've been able to swing some of our export coal in support of Eskom when they were looking at coal in the short term. And fortunately, some of our mines have the type of quality coal that is very favorable to them because it's a higher quality which they can blend with some of their other lower qualities. And we are in conversation with Eskom as to how we can continue supporting them. So we have not been having any challenges in being able to put coal to Eskom as and when they need it and when we have it available.
Well, let's leave it there. Mlisi, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that Mlisi Mgojo, who's the CEO of Exxaro.
Thank you.